For Tech Tuesday this week, we're crossing to our regular correspondent, Daniel Watson. He's not in his regular place. He's in Nashville. And being overseas has got him thinking about cyber tips for travelling. Daniel, kia ora.
G'day, Wallace.
What's taking you to Nashville?
I'm over in Nashville for an IT conference, which is a lot about sales and marketing, but it's overall business information. It's good. It's good. It's a great place to be, actually. Nashville is, it's like the size of Hamilton, but super, super awesome.
It's the size of Hamilton. I always thought it was a bit bigger, but it's not so big.
No, no, not at all. But it's growing massively. I've been here for a few times over the years, and each time I get here, it's just you notice the changes. Pretty much like Hamilton, right?
Yeah. Has it got you thinking about cybersecurity while travelling?
Yeah, so there's been a couple of things which I've noticed. Now, these days, we're getting to this point where, you know, New Zealand's about to open up and everybody's going to bomb burst out and go out to all the Pacific Islands and that kind of stuff, and they're going to be super, super excited. People are going to be taking selfies and that kind of stuff, right? And I recalled there was a news article, I think it was 2015, where a woman who is at like the Melbourne Cup or something, and she won like her gambling ticket. She won the race, right? So she was so excited. She took a selfie of her with the winning slip, right? Now that winning slip had the full barcode, right? By the time she went to claim it, somebody had already been there and got the money out, so she'd completely lost out, right? So also, when you're like, people do this with boarding passes, right? On the boarding pass is a QR code down the side of it.
Mm.
And you're thinking, well, on the boarding pass, it doesn't really say much, it might have your name on it, but that QR code gives a great deal of information, right? So it, just having that, it can be scanned off a picture off the internet and put into, I don't know, say United's United Airlines travel system. And with that and like the confirmation number, which is on the boarding pass, they can actually go in and change the travel tickets. So there are plenty of trolls out the internet. You're thinking, well, what harm could that be? Well, there's actually quite a lot of info, like, you know, your full name, your email address and things like that, right? That can be gathered from that account. But if they can mess with your travel, like, for no other reason, just to ruin somebody's day, people on the internet will do that. So the word of caution there is just pay attention to, you know, what you're putting out there on the internet. You know, you could just kind of keep your thumb over it, perhaps. But generally, you know, there's a bad habit of oversharing out there.
Yeah. First of all, Daniel, that's incredible. And what a tragic story about the woman who lost all that money just because of a simple barcode. But it makes you think really just how much information can be gleaned from such a simple thing as a barcode.
Yeah, that's right. Because it usually is it's something that's been handed to you and you only, but it's a gateway to even more information, right? So there's the airlines have to do a bit of a trade-off, right? If they make it too difficult, then they just can be dealing with loads of people missing their flights, or when they need to go in and change their booking or whatever like that, right? So there's always a compromise between convenience and security. But you know, at the end, it's up to the individual to secure that information themselves.
What are some of the common tricks? What are some of the other common tricks that you've come across?
Yeah, so typically when you're traveling, like in terms of cybersecurity, airports are great places for people to try and steal credentials. In terms that it's quite easy for a hacker to set up a rogue wireless access point in a place where lots of people congregate, right? So imagine you're going to Los Angeles Airport, and you're sitting in the arrivals hall, which is probably going to take you about 3/4 of an hour to get through. I'm afraid it's atrocious. It's not like back home. You're going to be bored to tears, and if you don't have a roaming account, you're going to be looking for the wireless local, you know, airport wireless access point to get onto the internet so you can, you know, download something from RNZ, perhaps maybe listen to one of the programs on Saturday morning. So You'll go and start up your phone and you'll have a look and look for what network IDs are available to you. And it would be quite difficult for you to know which is the right one. So
Of course.
it becomes easy for a hacker to go, right, well, I'm just going to start one up and get people to connect through me. Now, it could get you out to the internet, but they will be siphoning off whatever information, because as soon as your machine connects through on their network, they can do man-in-the-middle attacks where they can see what sites you're trying to get access to. And if the site's not fully encrypted, you might be just, if, as soon as your computer logs on to the network for your email, what have you, it could be siphoning off the passwords and that kind of stuff, which would then be used later on to do an attack. It's not usually a direct pathway
That
to
is
hack you.
extraordinary, and that's a gold piece of information now, because more and more people are starting to travel overseas. Would never have thought of it, Daniel. You go to, for example, LA Airport, and you scan for the for the remote access, and you see LA underscore airport underscore two, and it looks to be free.
Yeah,
Click.
sure. That would
Wow.
and that would be it. And because there's you may not notice anything, then you won't think of that as being the cause.
Of
And
course.
there's lots of times when people say, look, I don't know how I was hacked. And it's for sure it could be any one of a number of things that you've done in the last, I don't know, year, right? Which makes it really hard for people like myself who are cybersecurity professionals, like to kind of track down what it was that led to a later event. You have to be lucky every single time, whereas the hacker only has to get lucky once. But in terms of other things to think about when you're traveling is, if you don't, you need to have a password on your phone, because somebody, like if you're standing out in the street doing a selfie or something like that, and it may not be a safe area, or it might be a safe area, but somebody just comes along, runs past, snatches your phone and hikes off with it, because hey, an iPhone 13 is a good $1,400 worth of
Yeah.
Electronics that you're waving around in the air. Then if it's not got a passcode on it or a PIN, then they're going to be straight into a large number of your applications that may not require you to have a password, or you've already saved the password on it. So that's well worth considering. And I'd also point out that when you cross borders these days, more governments are potentially going to ask you for your social media IDs. And if you're subject to a search, then your electronic devices may also be subject to a search, and you may be demanded to unlock your devices.
Does that
So,
happen? Does that happen?
yeah, that can happen. Yeah. I mean, you when you're traveling, you're quite vulnerable in a lot of ways. So, and if
Good
you're traveling
heavens.
to a place which is not particularly friendly to New Zealand, then you've got to consider those kind of things as well. Like, do you actually, if you're taking a work computer there, is there stuff on the work computer that, if it gets compromised when it's stolen, that might be, you might get a bit of in trouble with your employer. But hopefully they've got good IT people and they've got it all
Yeah.
encrypted and it's no big deal. But
Talking tech today with Daniel Watson, regular correspondent who is in Nashville at the moment. So, do people get caught out through complacency, or do people get caught out through sheer not knowing? I would never have thought, for example, about that internet access at an airport.
yeah, it is. Well, that's why I spend a lot of time talking about this kind of thing with my clients in generally, because it is stuff that you wouldn't know. It's really hard to defend the things that you don't know exist as a thing in the first place. And these days, we know, but not many people actually understand the technology that we use. We just use it, right? Like, I don't know how to fix my car. I'm a complete numpty when it comes to mechanical engineering, right? So, but I rely on people to do that for me. All right. So, but if you have a little bit of knowledge on, oh, I don't know, what would it be? I'm not going to try and fix it myself. I'll just make it worse. But there are some things that are well worth everybody knowing, you know, like making sure that you keep the oil topped up and
Yes.
the radiator full, and that you've got air in the tires, right? Because those kind of things will prevent greater damage in the long run.
So, what are the best types of tech to use then, Daniel, if you are a constant traveler?
If you're a constant traveler,
Or
if you're a constant
if you're a
traveler,
traveler, yeah.
if you're well, I would not stress out too much. If you're going traveling, you're going to need access. Like, so many apps are very, very useful. Like, boarding passes are available. You can do all the travel changes, that kind of stuff. I would give a shout out to travel agents, right? Because they'll make your life a lot easier. Because even if you lose your phone, as long as you know to call one place back home in New Zealand, then that person can give you a lot of assistance.
Right.
Whereas if you've booked everything online, right, then ultimately it's up to you, right? If you've somehow managed to
That's a good
give
tip.
yourself only 15 minutes between connections between Dallas and Nashville, then you're going to be stressing out. Now, who needs that? If you're on holiday, travel is stressful anyway. You know, so that's probably a non-technology tip, but
Yeah, great
ultimately
tip,
it is.
great tip. Yeah.
Yeah, so
You can be our regular travel correspondent. How about that? Just tech and travel. I'm going to broaden your horizons without Jesse Morgan knowing.
I'd love to do that. Will I get tickets?
No, you won't get
Nah.
tickets, Daniel. Hey, now what might people be missing out on if they're sticking analog, like my producer Rob? What could he be gaining by giving up the paper tickets and notebook?
Well, I
Because that's what he's
look,
doing.
if he's happy doing the way he's doing, then I wouldn't disturb that. Realistically, I love having my devices on me. When it's a good distraction, I can see what's on the news, I can see what's coming, I can see what the weather is at the destination, right? Because I've stepped off the plane before, and you go from LA to somewhere in Dallas, and it can actually, you know, one place is sunny and 24 degrees, and the other one
Yes.
it's only 7 degrees, and your brass monkeys at the other end. Having Uber is so awesome, right? So, like, you get off the plane, you go, right, take me to my hotel, tickety tickety boo, and go to the right pickup spot, and they come and get you. There's an enormous amount of convenience that's in there. But sometimes if you're a bit more analog, you need somebody to kind of show you how to do it the first time, and then after that you're away. Because, you know, a lot of these apps are like they're fairly intuitive. You just need to,
Yeah.
have that comfort of having somebody walk you through it the first time, I think.
Lovely to have your advice, Daniel, and it's great advice too this afternoon. I really appreciate that. I'm going to be certainly on my mind now when I or if I do go travelling in the future. Before you go, Nashville, I've always wanted to go there. Are you going to try and catch a band or catch some music or what have you?
Oh, look, the district there. Okay, so like the main drag, you know, it's like the so imagine Queen Street, but with that kind of more of the turn of the century feel. But
Yeah.
every second shop is another honky tonk bar where there's live music playing from morning till late, and then interspersed that with like cowboy hats and cowboy boot shops. It's unique, and the music is fantastic, and the food is very much comfort food. You feel guilty having eaten a full meal, because it's carb heavy, man. It's carb heavy. Macaroni and cheese is considered a normal side, right? So people, instead of getting a side salad, they'll get a side of mac and cheese,
Whoa,
which
whoa,
I think
wait,
is
wait,
just
wait,
kind of
wait.
like
That's
nuts.
a side?
Like, it's so you can order a side, you get like pulled
God.
pork sandwich, order sides of tater tots, fries, and mac and cheese. It's like, the color brown features heavily in the food around here.
Daniel, very good to have you on the program. Kia ora and safe travels to you.
All right, look forward to getting home soon.